Well, good evening. Aware that this evening may appear a little bit bitty, we're looking at marriage, we've been thinking about mission, but actually the thread that hangs it all together is, of course, the gospel. We're looking at the gospel, we're thinking about the gospel. So just a moment of quiet as we reflect on who God is, his relationship to his people, before we unpack this passage. Heavenly Father, as we continue to worship you this evening, as we continue to think about your love for us, your relationship to your people, please help us to leave this place this evening changed, knowing your will for our lives. Amen. Well, no doubt a very familiar passage to many people here, but as we unpack this, I wonder if we can look down and ask the Lord Jesus to speak to us with what he wants to show us in his word tonight. As we all know, the latter half of Ephesians chapter 5 is really only relevant if you're recently married. Well, now that I've got your attention, let me tell you why that is not the case. This passage is relevant to us as a church, as we affirm what marriage is in a society that basically doesn't know. So we do need to think about what marriage is and what it means practically, whether we have never been married and we are considering it, whether we were once married and maybe we are now not, or whether we are married now and have been for 60 days or for 60 years. Aware this can be quite a sensitive subject for many, but regardless of where we are in life, we do want to leave this evening affirming the place of marriage in society and hopefully wiser for what marriage means, what marriage entails. Marriage has been called the sweetest, purest, dearest life. A man and a woman coming together as one flesh in lifelong commitment before God. A man and a woman coming together as one flesh, two becoming one in lifelong commitment before God. But that is not all marriages. And in fact, God, through Paul the Apostle here, he lets us in on a little secret. A secret that, if it was known and understood properly by our society, would completely transform this country. Something that would transform the Church of Jesus Christ if we knew it properly, if we understood this secret. So what is this secret? Are you ready? Marriage is not primarily about you. Marriage is not primarily about you. For marriage, a man and a woman coming together as one flesh, in our text, verse 32, called a profound mystery. But what is that profound mystery? It is this. If you're married, the deepest meaning of your marriage is as a picture that stands for the relationship between Christ and his church. For all marriages, for every marriage, whether they're a Christian marriage or a Hindu marriage, any marriage, the deepest meaning of that marriage is that it is a picture of Christ's relationship with his people. Marriage is meant to be a living drama of how Christ and the church relate to one another. So as man and woman are made in God's image, so marriage is an image of Christ and the church, one flesh together. So if you're here and are married, or if you may be married in the future, what does that mean for you? What does that mean? That's the nitty-gritty of this passage. Allow me to address first husbands, and maybe future husbands. Verse 25, maybe we can look at it together. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Well, simply put, if you are a husband, you are being asked to love your wife. Simple, but hard. Husbands, love your wives. Notice that Paul does not simply reinforce the status quo here of the paternal hierarchical structures of Greco-Roman society. But he says something that is actually, for his time, incredibly pioneering and revolutionary and in complete contrast to every other Roman household code that we have. Husbands, love your wives. Well, why and how? Christ's headship over his church is the working model here. So just as Christ is head over his church, so you and I, if you are a husband, are called by God to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership in our marriages. And that means we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, dying on a cross in her place. The word is, of course, agape, the same love that Christ has for us. And that means choices, doesn't it? That means actions. That means sacrifices. An agape love, Christ's love. You see, Christ's not the church's tyrant, he's the church's loving saviour. In other words, we must love our wives sacrificially. Our love in marriage is to resemble Christ's love. You know, perhaps our modern definitions of love are like a ditch, something you fall into, or maybe like a virus, something that you catch. But in the Bible, love is a verb, isn't it? It's an action word. It's a series of choices. Love makes choices, Paul is saying here. Love, in this context, puts one's wife first. And that's how Christ is described here, as loving the church. He is head over. He gave himself up for her. He made her holy. He cleansed her. He presented her. That's what Christ did for his people. And husbands, myself included, that's how we are to treat our wives. So challenging for me, and I'm sure challenging for you too. So a husband's supreme concern becomes his wife's spiritual and physical welfare. We are to develop her every resource of personality, every choice that we make. We have to ask, well, is it in her interest? How will it affect her? How can I, not so much how can I squeeze her into my mold, if you've ever been tempted to think that, but how can I help her become all that God wants her to be? So we can't say, as I heard one person say, I and my wife are one, and I'm the one. Now, our role is, of course, to make her the one. God is saying we must care for our wives, husbands, even as we care for ourselves. How do we care for ourselves? Well, if she's ill, I think it means we look after her. If she needs rest, we make sure she gets it. If she's unhappy, we discover why. Because when you or I love our wife like that, What are we doing? We are displaying to ourselves, but also to the world, that deeper meaning of marriage. That our marriage is pointing to that greater marriage, the marriage of Christ to his people. That's the picture that marriage is pointing to. So husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. As I said, simple, but oh, so hard. What does this mean when we face problems, when we face difficulty in marriage? Well, loving our wives as Christ loved the church means if there's a problem in my marriage, then the first place that I should look to change things is to myself. To myself. Loving our wives as Christ loved the church means if there's a problem, I have to look inward first and say, is there a problem with me? It's looking first at my sin, looking first at my selfishness. I can't say, well, she doesn't do this or that. She doesn't submit, so I'm not going to love. I'm not going to give her what she needs. I'm not going to be kind. Because the problem is not what she does or doesn't do. Just ask Melody, I think she'd agree with that. The problem has to be, from my point of view, me. And of course, if we both think like that, then that's the key to a happy marriage. Recognizing it's my sin that's the problem. And thinking about Christ and his love for his church, his people, as the gold standard for loving. Well, it's difficult, isn't it, when we are so different. It does seem, doesn't it, that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Melody tells me that she's got a headache. So what do? I give solutions. Solutions. We like solutions, don't we? Take a paracetamol, have a lie down. But what she really wants is empathy. Husbands, our default position is solving things, isn't it? Are you a solver rather than love and care? I heard about a husband who went to see a marriage counsellor with his wife, and his wife was hurt and she was upset, and as she began to talk, she crossed her arms and recounted her loveless life, and tears filled her eyes and her lips started quivering. And it wasn't long before the counsellor realised what the problem was. So without saying a word, he broke all the rules of counselling by taking her by the hands, looking her in the eyes, smiling, and then giving her a big hug. A big hug. And a change immediately came over her face. And she softened and her eyes lit up. And stepping back, the counsellor said to her husband, "See, that's all she needs." So the husband, he checked his diary and he said, "Great, I'll bring her back to see you every Tuesday and Thursday." Husbands, we are called to love our wives sacrificially, with actions, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, wives. Wives, disengage elbow from husband at this point. What does your marriage being a picture of Christ and the church mean for you? It means, verse 22, you are to submit to your husband. Submit to your husband. Now, what are we to make of this controversial, and I'm sure for some of us here, terrifying word, submit? In the West, where we've lived through the rise and the wane of the feminist movement in the 1960s, writers like Germaine Greer, it's probably a good idea first to point out what the Bible is not saying in verse 22. The Bible is not saying that women are of lesser worth or value than men. The Bible is not saying that women should never express an opinion. The Bible is not advocating that all women should submit somehow to all men. The Bible is not presupposing who stays at home and who goes out to work. The Bible is not saying that your relationship to your husband trumps relationship and obedience to God. That's quite an important one to remember that. But what it does say, as part of God's transformed community, that's the whole point of why Ephesians is being written, as part of God's transformed community, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, this is a general principle for marriage, but Paul has in mind particularly Christian wives and Christian husbands. Submit to your husbands. Again, from the text, why and how? Well, the key phrase is, of course, as to the Lord. The model is, again, Christ and the church. Submit as the church submits to Christ. Just as the church, by definition, recognizes that Christ is its head, so wives voluntarily recognize the headship of their husbands. Verse 23. Of the 38 times the word submit is used in the New Testament, 23 of those are used by Paul, and he means something like put yourself under, a voluntary willingness to recognize and put oneself under the leadership of another. So submitting to one's husband means loyalty and support of the husband's role as leader of the household, trusting his decisions when you can't agree. I check that definition with Melody first. Joyce Huggett puts it much better than I ever could. She said, submission is positive, deliberate, voluntary donation of all you have and all you are for the well-being of another. Isn't that great? Let me read that again. Positive, deliberate, voluntary donation of all you have and all you are for the well-being of another. So, God has instituted a system whereby one person leads and the other supports. There is direction and there is trust. After all, you can't have a voting system where there's only two people voting, can you? So God has ordained a different system since the fall. A system of leadership, a system of direction, a system of support, a system of trust, a system of understanding. So submitting to your husband means recognizing the God-given order established. It means honoring and it means affirming your husband's well-being in his leadership role, just as the church gives all it has to Christ. Now, for anyone here still struggling with the erroneous idea somehow that the word submission is a dirty word. It implies some sort of hierarchy. I think it's helpful to add that submission is about being equal and about being complementary. Men and women, and I think it is good to affirm this because our society doesn't always affirm it, men and women are created equal before God. We're equally valuable, we're equally good, we're equally bad. We are equally responsible. We are equally saved. But equality of worth is not the same as identity of role. And from creation, the Bible speaks of our complementary natures and our complementary roles. And this passage tells us that a wife's role to submit to her husband is God's calling on her life to honor and affirm her husband's leadership, and to help him carry it through according to her many gifts. So of course there'll be times when this is easier, and there'll be times when this is downright hard. That's true whether you're married to a Christian or someone who isn't yet a Christian. But whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you'll need patience and you'll need the will to keep going. That's something that we need to ask the Lord for, isn't it? But here's the thing. If you're here and you're a wife, or maybe you will be a wife in the future, has there ever been a Christian marriage you've admired where submission has been an issue? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So husbands, wives, maybe I can address us together now. During those times when loving and submitting seem impossible, what does this passage tell us? What have we been thinking about in the whole of our service so far? Look to the gospel. Look to the gospel. Look to the love the Lord Jesus has for his people and his people's recognition of Christ as their head. You might think that this evening's just been, you know, with a whip. Come on, husbands. Come on, wives. Work harder. Try harder. But actually, the heart of this passage is the heart of the Bible. For if you understand the gospel, you understand marriage. For in the gospel, where the Lord Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save and redeem his sinful people, love is there. Forgiveness is there. Reconciliation is there. Friendship is there. Security is there. Permanence is there. Renewal is there. Refreshment is there. So I can rest assured that my marriage will blossom and be a source of refreshment to me when both I learn to love Melody as Christ loved the church, and when Melody submits to me as the church does to Christ. When that happens, we have a little bit of heaven on earth. When that happens, husband and wife are united physically, united emotionally, and united spiritually, as marriage is at that point reflecting the reality of which it is but a picture, Christ's relationship with the church. Well, let's bring this all together. Remember again the picture, the big picture of the book of Ephesians. It's about what it means for us, his church, his people, to be his new transformed community. Being God's new community together, it does not mean an erasing of existing social relationships, but it means their transformation as they are lived out under the authority of Christ and his kingdom. Outside of Christ, we husbands, we tend to be unloving and we tend to be harsh. Outside of Christ, there's no particular reason for a wife to listen to or submit to her husband. But from one's relationship with Christ, from the gospel, our marriages are transformed according to these new community standards. A community that's not very politically correct today, perhaps. But I ask you, has Western culture come up with a better set of values than these? I dare say that a decline in marriage standards, even an ignorance of what marriage is a key issue in the UK today, an issue in which God is asking us to live out kingdom values. And what happens at home, it validates what's in our heart, doesn't it? So husbands, maybe God is asking you to think of one thing we can do today to put our love in action, even if we don't feel like doing it. If you have any bitterness towards your wife, confess it to her. Wives, maybe God is prompting you to follow your husband's lead. If you can think of one thing you've been holding on to, then mention it to him. Husbands, loving our wives means not being domineering, not being sour like bitter water, not holding grudges, being the first to say sorry, I find that really hard. I think we all do. Put your wife's concerns above yours. Treat her properly. At one men's conference on marriage I heard of, the keynote speaker, he announced that the next night he would tell all the men exactly how to get their wives to treat them like a king. So they all came back excitedly the next night, pen and paper in hand, ready. And the speaker, he started his talk with this statement. Treat her like a queen. God knows that we husbands struggle to love, just as he knows how wives struggle to submit. I don't know, maybe this pattern reflects the particular susceptibilities of each partner in the relationship. Wives to chafe under the headship of their husbands, and husbands to abuse their leadership role. But in this world of short-lived celebrity marriages, prenuptial agreements, and the celebration of breakups, in this kind of world, God calls us, doesn't he, to something bigger. God calls us to something much better, much better. He calls us ultimately to be part of his kingdom, part of his new transformed community, which means wives, submit like the church. Husbands, love like Christ. She does all she can to affirm and honor her husband. He gives up everything for her, sacrificing his interests for hers. Oh, what a picture! What a challenge! Let's spend a moment in quiet, reflecting on what this means for us, regardless of where we are in our own life situation. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that when we were still sinners, when we were your enemies, you sent the Lord Jesus as a propitiating sacrifice to die in our place, the wrath of God poured upon him, taking our place as a substitute, rising from the dead so that we could be reconciled with you. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that forgiveness. Thank you for that friendship. And out of that truth, the heart of the Bible, the heart, your heart, we want to understand what marriage is and to affirm it in our society. We want to be a church that stands up for what it means for a man and a woman to come together in holy matrimony, joined by you, one flesh. Help us to understand the gospel more, and in doing so, help us to understand your call for husbands and wives, we pray. Amen.